Welcome to the Every Nation Dorado Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. It's always an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that means anything is possible in terms of God's will for our lives. Amen. I want to encourage us that as the days approach with the coming of the Lord, that we continue to meet together. Don't be like those guys who say, no, I've had enough church, you know, I already know that other verse. But that the Lord will continue to encourage you on a weekly basis. Amen. Awesome. We had such a wonderful time at our prayer night, night of encounter on Friday. How many of you were there? We were just making a lot of spiritual disturbance, if you know what I'm saying. And it was just demons flying left, right, and center. Isn't it, Grenda? It was really hectic. So we prayed, and we prayed for the nation, and we prayed for our church, and we prayed for many, many subjects. And I want to say this, that traditionally most people are acquainted with the Sunday meeting. And so they believe that church is on a Sunday, and they are many times even faithful and committed to that. But I want to encourage you and teach you the fact that there are different kinds of meetings. There are different kinds of meetings. Some meetings, like this one on a Sunday morning, is a celebration meeting. We are worshiping the Lord and we are teaching the scriptures and we are praying concerning certain matters. But when we have a prayer time, it is a different kind of meeting. When we have a passion night, it is a different kind of meeting. And there are different manifestations of the Holy Spirit in different kinds of meetings. And so in order for you to have a comprehensive perspective of who the Holy Spirit is and the workings of God, you can't just come to one kind of meeting. Including another important meeting is a small group meeting, like a connect group. And so this is important for you to understand the priority of being part of certain meetings. You can't say, I've been there on Sunday, so a prayer night is not important for me. You are going to miss out on that which the Lord has for you. There were different prophetic words that we were ministering on Friday. If you were here, maybe we were going to tell you exactly the identity of the husband that you are supposed to marry. But since you were not here, find out for yourself. And trial and error is not a good approach. Amen? It's really important. It is remarkable how the Word of God shows us how He encounters people at the place where He shows them to be. It is not necessarily always the case that God will come to your room to encounter you. But there are places where God is moving where you can be and have an encounter with the Lord. Amen? And so we are celebrating God for what He did there on Friday. We're also looking forward to this coming weekend. On Saturday morning, we've got our men's hike. I want to encourage you. I know that maybe so far you have not yet fulfilled. I see only ladies. Oh, okay, some guys are clapping. You have not yet fulfilled on your New Year's resolution of exercising and getting a 24-pack here in the front. And so it's not about the exercise. We want to get out together as men, and we are going to climb up the mountain and pray together and share certain things that the Holy Spirit is giving. And so if you are not there as a man in this church, you will not know the orders and the directives that are given to the men of this church, and you will be failing in terms of fulfilling that instruction. Are you with me? And so we want to encourage you to participate in that. Bring your eldest son or your sons that are a little bit older. Sometimes we do go into certain intricate details and things about things that might not be appropriate for four-year-olds, and they might not be able to make the hike. But we want to encourage all the men in the church to come for that meeting. Amen. Awesome. And then tomorrow, as usual, is our day of prayer and fasting for everyone. Forever. Amen. And then we want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, in a connect group, we want to encourage you to please join a connect group at the information table. Given your name, we'll reach out to you. You'll be able to meet a connect group in the place or in the area which is generally convenient for you. But every place in Windhoek is about a half an hour away, so it shouldn't be too much of an inconvenience to be fed in the things of God. We want to honor Pastor Franz and Anne who are in our midst this morning. Good morning, good morning. You guys are welcome. We celebrate you. When you see them, give them money. Give them money. And hugs. Okay. You know, I heard from one of our leaders this week that they were in a taxi being dropped off here about 2 weeks ago. And then they were being asked by someone in the taxi, not the taxi driver, someone in the taxi asked, is this that Every Nation Church? And then she said, yeah, this is the Every Nation Church. Is it being led by that guy, Chris? So they're like, yeah, Pastor Chris is the pastor. And then they said, yeah, that guy likes money. That guy likes money. I was like, what? I don't like money. I tell people to give other people money. I'm trying to disciple generosity in the people of God. And if we were farmers, I would say give them a sheep or something. But most of us don't have sheep. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Pastor Chris doesn't love money. He loves Jesus. And he loves people. Okay, so at least they know about us. We might be doing something right. Okay, so if you're here, any kind of medical condition, the healing grace of the Lord is still working in our midst. There was a word of knowledge specifically for people who are losing hair. This is like a condition called alopecia or something like that, where your hair is being lost. I'm not talking about balding necessarily. Balding is great, you know. So if you want to pray for that, not a problem, you and your wife. But balding is not a problem, okay? This is especially for a lady, okay? You generally tend to put on something that looks like hair, but there's a condition there that God is healing you. Then a problem with the knee. Problem with the knee, particularly bone issues, God is healing you. And then stomach problems, especially like a cramping, like just below the umbilical cord, under here. So God is healing people of that condition, okay? And after the service, just come for prayer time. And whatever else you are trusting the Lord for in the area of healing, we just release the word of healing over the people of God this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. By his stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So today we're starting with a new series. And many of you have been, I'm set apart enough now. It's enough. You know, we pray for those who have been dumped during the set apart series, and you know, because sometimes the result of the preaching of the word is that some kind of ungodly relationship where you were being fornicating and things like that is now terminated, amen, and you are given notice, 1 hour notice to terminate that relationship and all of that. It is very important that we apply, put to work. When God speaks to you, if you are in the service here, we are preaching to you, but the Holy Spirit is also ministering specific instructions to you as the word is coming to you. You must apply those things immediately. That is called Rhema. Rhema has the possibility to change the laws of nature. This is why Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come. I need a Rhema. I need a word in season. And it caused him to walk on water. Are you with me? And so make notes in your phone or whatever, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, even with regards to your business, your employees, whatever it is, your spouse, your children. Sometimes you'll be sitting here and the Holy Spirit is giving you an impression concerning one of your children that you need to take them out and minister to them and just play with them and all. Because God knows the future. He knows pertaining your life and your family what is essential. And so he's not giving you only scriptural instruction, but the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you today. Are you with me? So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We've come this morning to sit under the ministry of your word. We know that your word is alive, living, and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord God. And it is going even to the bone and the marrow. And it is dividing between soul and spirit, Lord God, dealing with the mind, dealing with the emotions, dealing with the will, dealing with spiritual matters, Lord God. And it is a discerner of the motives of the heart, the intentions that we are grappling with. We thank you, Lord, that your word this morning is going out towards all of us, Lord. And it is a seed that is incorruptible and it will not return void. And we declare that this morning as we receive your word in humility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're starting a new series called Set Apart Nation. Set Apart Nation is going to be over 3 weeks. Today we're talking about the theme that nations belong to God. Now, why is this important? Because as we're dealing with our theme for the year, which is being set apart, we are always set apart for a specific purpose. And so God desires not only for the individuals to be set apart, but for the nations wherein they dwell to be set apart as well. How many of you understand that no matter what you do, the nation that you dwell in crafts the atmosphere where you operate? And if the atmosphere is not conducive, you are going to be suffocated by that atmosphere. And so God calls us to pray for our leaders and pray for our nation so that the nation where you dwell can prosper, and then in turn you and your family can prosper. Are you with me? And so we have to teach about this. We know that in our church there are many individuals. Well, statistically, everyone is about five relationships from the head of state in Namibia, because we are so few. There's people here that know the head of state personally. Do you understand? This is just by virtue of the fact that we are a village in Africa. In terms of our numbers, it's 2.8 now, maybe 3 million, maybe 4, if we're not counting right. You know, sometimes the math, 2 plus 4, 2 plus 1 is 4, right? And so we have to understand that the dynamic in our nation is that God wants to speak not only to the individuals in the church, but every individual that holds political office, that holds influential offices, because God has an interest with regards to the nation. So God doesn't only deal with individuals, he deals corporately with people, groups, with families. And when we say nation, we are not only speaking about states, meaning national states like republics, or the communist state of China. Nation comes from the word ethnos. Ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S. Ethnos, where we get the word ethnic group. Do you understand? So when God says nations will come to the shining of your light, he's talking about tribes. Are you with me? So God deals with tribes, and he wants to set tribes apart, even at the point of clans and at the point of families. And so that's what we'll discuss today. Next week, we'll talk about how nations are ruled from the heavenlies. They are not ruled from the house, from the state house. Nations are ruled from the heavenlies. And we'll bring you some illustrations of nations that have been dedicated to God and the result that took place, and nations that have been dedicated to satanic forces and what's happening today. Will bring you a contrast. This thing is real. This thing is effectual. These principalities have been distributed from the time of the Tower of Babel, and they have been supervising nations for centuries. And many times the doctrines, the legislation, the policies, and the culture within the nation is being inspired from the realm of the spirit. It is not only coming from the parliamentary realm, that those parliamentarians are inspired by somebody, that there is a spirit that speaks to the soul of man. And if it is not the spirit of God, it is some other spirit with an agenda concerning the nation. And then the last week, we'll talk about principles for a godly nation. In case you become president one day, just take notes so that you don't ruin our nation when you get there. Amen. All right, so this is very important for us to understand. The nation of Namibia at the moment is deemed to be a Christian nation. But our constitution claims that we are a secular state. That means that we are not a theocracy like maybe Saudi Arabia or Iran that has Sharia law and Islam as the national religion. So we don't have a national religion. Christianity is not a national religion. But the claim is that, especially in light of the influence of the Lutheran Church in particular, involved with the ruling party, the SWAPO party, and the involvement of the Lutheran Church from the time of the liberation struggle, caused the introduction of the doctrines of Christ to come through the hearts of many of the politicians that were part of the party. It was also so with the African National Congress, the ANC in South Africa, that when they started off, that the Luthulis and others were being inspired in regards to the liberation. In those rooms, there were preachers and pastors and bishops, particularly from the Anglican Church. And you will understand that Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu lived in the same street. And they both received Nobel Peace Prizes for the liberation struggle. Are you with me? And so there was a prophet holding the politician as the conscience voice of God in the room to say, we cannot do this. But with every administration, every regime change, every new president, there comes somebody who says, yeah, we don't want to follow the way of God. Let's just do the way of our ancestors. And so when we walk into the parliament, someone is saying, hey, and here comes the chief walking in, chanting and calling out ancestral spirits. In Namibia, at least, we still have the dynamic where, is it the Honorable Peter Kachavivi? Yes, who is the current Speaker of the House? That is not an easy job since the EFF has come on the scene. Already your English was not at the level. Now, point of order, point of order. But I've seen many of our parliamentary meetings where people have opened up the parliamentary meeting with prayer in the name of Jesus in the chambers of this nation. Does that mean that we are a Christian nation? And so this is the principle, because most of the time there is a sentiment to say, let the Christians just mind their own business and stay in the church. Don't bring your religious Christianity here. We are dealing with real things here, real hunger, real struggles. And so the idea is that godliness and Christianity has no relevance in the public sphere. Because it doesn't work. We are just here pretending as if Jesus is alive, as if he is King of Kings. We are just singing King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but it's not true. And so this is the understanding. And we as the church are the ones who have to legitimize. We have to explain to other people. Other people who don't know God will not be able to explain the purpose of the church. The church has to explain to the world why we are here. Are you with me? And the problem is, most of the time, even the church doesn't know. And so we're going to go through some scriptures to show us that nations belong to God. So you can take us there to the first one. The first point is this: the whole earth is the Lord's. The whole earth is the Lord's. It is important for you to understand that Christianity is not for the Christians. Jesus Christ is Savior of the whole world, ruler of the kings of the earth. And we have said it before that Jesus is a governmental leader. He is not a religious leader. When he came, he didn't say, "Repent, for Christianity is at hand." No. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." There is another kingdom that is invading the kingdoms of men. Are you with me? And when we worship Jesus, it is not religious worship. It is allegiance. This is like talking about the worship that you give to a king. The obedience and the sacrifices that are given to king and country. That the kingdom of God is a nation. You are a chosen generation. You are a holy nation. We have a national leader. We have a citizenship. Come on. We have a royal family. Me, I'm one of them. And so are you. All right, so let's look here at Psalm 24. We're going to look at a couple of the references coming especially from Psalms because David is a prophet. Many of the things that David says, he says without knowing what's going on, but he utters it and he puts it in song. And so we'll see. And it starts off in Psalm 24. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." This fullness thereof means everything in it. Tell your neighbor, you belong to God. Even you, your rebellious face, you belong to God. Yes. Even if you don't believe in my Jesus, it doesn't matter. When the day of judgment comes and he takes his seat as ruler and judge over the quick and the dead, and you say, "I don't believe in you," he will just say, "I don't believe in you either." To the left. Yes. Many times we have preached the gospel and the doctrine of the rulership of Christ as if he is one of the presidents and kings that you must choose. Mm-mm. He just happens to be humble and gracious. He's not imposing himself, but there will come a day when he will impose himself. Are you with me? So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein, the people belong to who? To God. Who is God? Jesus Christ. This is why we cannot put Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and Krishna and Oprah and Dr. Phil and Obama and Madiba and Thomas Sankara, whoever your hero is. You can't put them at the same level. The one is the creator and the other one are the creatures. Yes, Jesus is way supreme. And when we are inviting you to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because what you have is useless. We are telling you the truth. The announcement is that of a government that sends envoys to another nation and says that, "Look, our king is superior to yours. Serve him or suffer the consequences." So the earth belongs to the Lord. That plot of yours, that house of yours, your car, your weave belong to God. Amen. This is a very, if you are a Christian and you don't have this idea, you are going to be delinquent. You are going to be a malfunctioning Christian. The principle is first that the Lord is owner. The earth is the Lord's. Let's see what justifies the ownership. The fact that the Lord has the earth and it's his. On what basis? On what basis? I bought this land. This is my farm. These are my diamonds. I acquired it. I am the shareholder. On what basis do you claim that your God owns it? Let's go to the next verse here. No, go back. Yes. It says, he has founded it. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. He made it. How can you say that I belong to God? He made you. Nah, but he wasn't there when I was born. God made you, my friend. God made you. That mouth that is saying, he wasn't, God made that mouth. Who makes the mouth? He said to Moses, who makes the mouth? Moses said, I can't speak. Who made the mouth? Is it not I? Now go. Do you see? Yes. We are not here just religious fanatics trying to be good people. No, we have come to understand that there is a reality of the Spirit of God that prevails over every other truth. Okay, so the whole earth is the Lord's. Number two, it's a little bit small here. This is the nations have rebelled against God. Not only does the earth belong to God, but nations have rebelled against God. If you guys can give us the Bible app from Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, I think it's going to be more legible. I just want to take us through all the way here to verse 6, if you can put it up for us. And so this is the idea that nations have rebelled against God. And this rebellion does not start on earth. It is inspired. Okay, start with verse 1. Verse 1. Look here. And this was quoted by the disciples when they were whipped by the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders when they were preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and they were beaten. And they congregated together and in their prayer meeting they quoted this verse. It says, why do the nations rage? Why do the nations rage? Another version says, why are the nations so angry? And the peoples plot in vain. Why do they waste their times with futile plans? These are nations that are against God. Ethnicities, groups of people, families. And then it says, the kings of the earth, verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Nations that take counsel together against God. We don't want God in our nation. We don't want Jesus in our schools. Mom? We don't want this Christianity thing in our business. And so he asks, why do the nations, the kings of the earth, set themselves? My brother, go back. Go back, I know that, you know. Go back. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel. They congregate. They go to Davos. They go to Switzerland. They go to Ethiopia. And then they congregate. And they say, Jesus, can you stand outside, please? We are making decisions concerning the earth. Our earth. Mortal beings that if your heart stops, you die that moment, mid-sentence. There was one politician, I don't know, I'll try and get the video for you guys to show you. Yeah? He was making pronouncements against Israel. He had a stroke on stage. Pastor Chris, are you saying that God can do that? The earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof, the people belong to God. He is the one that decides. And if you don't like that, you are a rebel. Why do they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed Christ? Saying this is what they say. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Let us release ourselves from being controlled by God. Who made us servants of the Most High? Who? We want to be independent of God. As a nation, we want to chart our own course. We are wise in our own eyes. We know what to do. We cast off the chains of the heavenly kingdom. And then it says, look at the response from God. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Whoa. And then it says, the Lord holds them in derision. It means he mocks them. Huh? Is God like that? Yeah. You know, when you read your Bible, you begin to realize that these videos that I've been watching on my social media, they don't seem to line up with the God of the Bible. You know, we might stand in a place where we want to judge God and take an armchair critic position and say, yeah, how can God do that? How can God, if God is a loving God, how can a loving God, if God is a loving, who made you judge over the wise? Even on earth, you are not a judge. You have not studied enough. You have not qualified. You are not qualified. Now you want to go up to the supreme court of God and say, hey, let God come out. He must answer me. Who made you judge? And then when we say, no, brother, you can't talk like that, you know, hey, don't judge me. You know, this series is going to have some warnings. Amen. How many of you came to church for your warnings for the week? You know, warnings are wonderful. You know, they are wonderful. Tell your neighbor, warnings are wonderful. Yes, yes. Because, you know, growing up, you will always be very bitter. Some of us are still forgiving people. Because when you come to their house, they didn't put up that sign, Ingozi. Danger. Khafar. On the gate. So you come there, invited by your chomi, and you guys are going to play something. And you just walk in, not knowing that bully is taking charge of that home. He's going to eat you up. Especially if you are visiting your Caucasian friend. Isn't it, Jonathan? Yeah. So many of us, regardless of what the gate says, even if there's no sign, we'll stand at the gate and say, Freddy, and Freddy will say, no, come on. And you will say, no, come and get me here. Why? Because there is no warning. If you are driving towards a cliff, please let the municipality not be bankrupt and there is no sign that says cliff ahead. A warning. Warnings are not anger. Many people have conflated this, that warning means anger. No. Warning means caution. It means love. Oh, yes. And you want to be warned before you get to the test. For instance, if you're going to get married, you have to be warned. They can't just tell you everything will be hunky-dory. It won't always be like that. There will be days when you will have to take up your cross, Lord, and follow Jesus. So somebody has to warn you so that you can decide, maybe I will just remain single. Yes. Yes, if you can survive. So he who sits in heaven laughs. He laughs. God is not moved by all the conniving and the conglomeration and the conferencing of mortals. He holds them in derision. Next verse. Then he will speak to them in his wrath. Does God have wrath? Yeah. The Bible says the last day, the day of judgment, is the day of the Lord's wrath. The day of wrath. What is wrath? It is anger that is explosive. It means if you are in the midst of someone who has a wrath, you are in danger. This is now anger that has gotten to the point where things will be addressed. and he will terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. So what does God deal with the national, international communities that are against God? His answer is this: Jesus Christ, my king, on my holy hill in Zion. Are you following? So this is the disposition of nations, the emotional condition of nations that don't know God, is that they are angry at God. They don't want him because he is God. It is a spirit of rebellion. Number three, God has a blessing for nations who surrender to him. And remember, when we say nations, we're not talking just about nation states, not only the ones that are on the maps. We're talking about ethnicities, groups of people. God has a blessing for families. This is always the way God deals. Those who are with me, I'm with you. And if you are against me, I'm also against you. You know, let me give you a piece of advice, child of God. Never put yourself in front of the bus as it comes down the road. Yes. You are going to perish. Does that make sense? I know it's traffic related. That means you can never confront the Creator. Never, never, never. You can't. You can't. You have no capacity. Your constitution vanishes just in his presence. He doesn't even have to say, destroy him. Are you with me? Now, the reason why I'm positioning it like this is because I'm trying to explain the authority and the place that God has. But there is a position that we can take in relation to God that causes us to be blessed. Psalm 33, once again, David, verse 12. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. That as nations, we can choose to be aligned with the Lord. Pastor Chris, are you saying that we need to revise our constitution and include that we are a Christian nation and we are with the Lord and all of that? I wouldn't say that we need to go that far. But we must understand that we cannot be, what do they call it when people are going to vote at the UN, right? There's the yeas, and then there's the nays, and then there's abstain. There is no such thing in the realm of the spirit. There is no abstain. No, me, I abstain. I didn't vote, Lord. If you didn't vote for the Lord, you are against him. This is true. I'm here to tell you because you don't know. You can't say, I don't want to be against Jesus. I just want to be neutral and live my life. That is not your life. That's not your life. Your life that you think, this is my life, it's now or never, I'm gonna live. That is not your life. I did it my way. It's not your life. That's why you must give an account. You will. This row here, guys, you guys are going to explain yourselves to God. Especially this area here. Okay, and these guys too. You are going to explain every word you have spoken. Every word you have spoken, you will explain to the Lord. I think these guys also, from here all the way there where Carl Xavier and them are sitting, you guys will explain to God why you live the way you live. And I believe these guys also, this row here, all the way to there where Mahilda is sitting, you will explain, you will answer.
You know, this is the most terrifying feeling. Oh, and you guys, people were like, yes, 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 hallelujah. No, let me just come here to you guys also. You will all explain, all of you, all of you. It doesn't matter how young you think you are. You will explain. What does this show? It shows that it's not your life. You have been given something of a stewardship, and your stewardship will be called up to say, explain. And the only place where we can find justification in the eyes of the Lord is that we rush into the ark called Jesus Christ, and we cover ourselves in his blood and sacrifice, and we take upon his name, we take upon his identity, we take upon his sacrifice, we take upon his righteousness. And it says that on the day of judgment, the righteous will rejoice. Oh, when the saints go marching. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. And there will be people there telling angels, I was at every nation. I'm supposed to be in that queue there. I know that song, Oh, when the saints. And they'll say, no, brother, you are here. Why? Because Jesus is not your Lord. Yeah. You were among the people of God, but you yourself, your heart was not after God. Oh, yes. We can sit here, hallelujah, being prepared for the day of slaughter, being fattened. I know that that's offensive to some people, but being fattened for the day of slaughter. But if we choose the Lord, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. You know, this is why I always say to you, why on earth will you backslide? To where? To where? For what? Jesus said to the disciples, after many deserted him, after he was preaching about that eat my flesh, drink my blood thing, he didn't even explain. Guys, I mean about the communion, no. People just said, this teaching is too hectic. Nations are owned by God. No, I'm out of here. Me, I'm out of here. And then as people were leaving Jesus, he asked the 12, are you also leaving? There's the door. Jesus ain't going to beg nobody to get saved. There's the door. He sends us to beg you, but he himself, there's the door. And then what did Peter say? Where? Where will we go? Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else will I go? To a religion that has a dead prophet? To a religion that doesn't have a personal God? All other faiths are scams. You heard it here. Only Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And he proved it with his scars. Look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says, if my people, look at God's disposition, look. And when you read the Old Testament, you see that relationship of God with Israel. And he says, look, if you guys just align yourself with me, you will eat of the good of the land. Barring persecution, the children of God are to prosper. Except for persecution. That if you are in a nation where the nation is against Christians, yes, your suffering is justified. But otherwise, there is no justification. Why? Because your portion is that of children of the Father. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Every time. The Lord is slow to anger, inclined to mercy, as Jonah. Jonah said, I'm not going to preach to those people in case you forgive them, because I know you. I know you. If they just repent, you'll forgive them quickly. And those people killed my parents. God has a blessing for Namibia. If Namibia wants to align itself with the Lord, Namibia will be blessed. But right now, there are factions being formed in the nations. And some are aligning to the east. And some are aligning to the west. The question is, who is aligning to the Lord? To the Lord. And then number four. Israel is special to God. I want to show you here that when God wanted to deal with the nations of the earth, he started with a specific nation as an icon. Is to be an example, to be a light to all the other nations. Because God's plan of salvation is for all the nations. Are you with me? But he started with one nation, with one man called Abraham. And Abraham received the whole earth. Okay, we're reading here, Exodus chapter 4. This is when God is sending Moses to Egypt to defy an empire that is the greatest ruling nation on the earth at the time. He sends one man. One man with God can bring down an empire. And so then he says to him, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you go before Pharaoh, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Now, there's a lot of controversy today as to whether Israel is still relevant in God's spiritual calendar. Israel is my firstborn son. And then he says, verse 23, and I say to you, this is now Moses speaking. Moses, this is why he said, Lord, I can't speak because Pharaoh is going to look at you like this. Because Pharaoh is God. In Egypt, Pharaoh had the position of God. He was the bright and morning star. So you come to him and say, God commands that you let his people. Which God? Because I'm also God. I do not know this God, and neither will I let the people go. And so he said, warn the guy. And if you do not, I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. Is God different today? No, the Lord does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What changed? There is someone that is took the punishment in our place. But the wrath still came from the same place. Give us the next one here. I want to show you here. Also Exodus, right? God speaking in relation to Moses. Exodus 19 verse 4, it says, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians. This is just before they come to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And he says to the people, you saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you, Israel, on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine. Pastor Chris, are you saying that there is a nation on earth that is special to God in comparison to with other nations? Yes. Yes. But that's unfair. So what? What are you going to do? Are you going to climb Zion and go and confront God about this? He is wise. He knows what he is doing. And I'll show you that Israel has not always, because of that favor, they have not always had the best experiences. And then it says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. You shall be unto me a royal priesthood and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak, that you shall speak to the people of Israel. These are the words that God said firstly to this nation, the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel. But the plan was to bless all the nations through them. Are you with me? This is why they are special to God. God has an alliance. He has a covenant with Abraham that he will not break. Not for your sake and your political agenda. Even if the United Nations unite against God, it does not change the favor of the Lord in regards to Jacob. Are you with me? Pastor Chris, why are you bringing political things here? Because Jesus is a political leader. It's true. Yeah, but I don't like this. I feel like we should rather be on the side of Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, when you begin to mature, you'll begin to realize that it goes beyond the plate of food that you are eating. God is dealing on the global level. You know, when you look from space, when you look from space at the International Space Station, I haven't been there. I know I'm saying it as if I was there. I haven't been there. But when you look from space and you look on the planet, you can't see you. Did you know that? As important as you think you are, in your chair at the office that swivels, because everyone doesn't have a swiveling chair, but yours swivels. And so now you have arrived. From heaven, you can't see you. God has to favor you for your prayer to be heard. Give us the next one here. We are landing. Romans chapter 9, verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Look at what he says. He says, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, meaning the Jews. I wish I could give up my salvation for their sake, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. It is theirs. And then theirs is the receiving of the law. The Ten Commandments was given to them. And then theirs is the, where are we? Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs is the divine glory. Theirs the covenants. Theirs is the receiving of the law, the temple worship, the promises are theirs. It doesn't end there. Look, theirs are the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the fathers of the faith. They come from them. And then, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah. Jesus is a Jew. Born when the fullness of time came. Born of a woman. Born under the law, born a Jew. This is the privilege that Israel gained. Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. And then he says, yeah, but how can you favor one? Look here, for those of you who don't believe that Jesus is God, theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all forever. Praise. Amen. There's a scripture that specifically says that Jesus is God. We are going to go deeper next week. I'm going to explain this thing to you. Okay? The Lord is so wonderful. The problem is with us. Everything was going fine. Until Eve spoke to the snake. Until she befriended him on her social media profile. And invited her husband, tagged Adam. And so God is now trying to restore the whole earth back to himself. And he did it by means of one nation. And then that nation, out of their rebellion themselves, have been put in a place of blindness in order to make room for the Gentiles and to provoke them to jealousy. But in the end, there is a redemption that is coming to Israel, which is special. And if you think of history, and you think of geopolitics, and you think of what God is doing in the earth, you have to trace yourself in relation to Israel. I'll explain this to us, amen. So the question is, okay, Pastor Chris, how does this really affect me on a Sunday morning? I'm going home now. Thank you for the history lesson and all. Some of us is like, what is this? You know, because we didn't like history and geography anyway. Okay? The important point is this, that Jesus Christ is not just a church leader. Yes. Unto us, a son is born. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And to the end of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen. Can we stand? Thank you, Lord. You might be here this morning and this is a little bit new to you. And I just want us to take time to pray where you are and ask the Lord and say, Lord, give me revelation. There's so much that's coming on the news. There's so much coming through your social media. And for those who have not been in the Word, you are going to be deceived into all manner of alliances. And the problem is that some of you are our leaders, and you will pull us involuntarily into things that cause destruction over nations. We pray this morning for the nation of Namibia. We pray that Namibia will be a set apart nation, that Namibia will be called a nation after God's own heart, that Namibia will be a nation that loves and prays for the peace of Jerusalem, that Namibia is a nation whose people are the Lord's, and that Namibia is a place from where the gospel goes all over the world, a place from where the gospel is financed, missionaries are sent to various parts of the world, a nation full of compassion, where its poor are taken care of because there are Christians in the nation. A nation that takes care and is kind to its foreigners. A nation that loves righteousness and hates wickedness. A nation that does not allow all manner of criminality, all manner of corruption to take over the bounds of its rivers and its oceans. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand this morning and we decree and we declare that Namibia ought to be a nation after the Lord. And as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare into the realm of the Spirit, may Namibia have the blessing of the Lord. May Namibia have the fear of God. May Namibia be a righteous nation after God. Thank you, Lord. Where you are, just pray for your family. Pray the same thing for your family, that your family will also be a family that loves God. Mother, father, grandfather, cousins, aunties, everybody loves Jesus because that's where life is, that's where the blessing is. I know that many of us don't come from such families, don't come from such nations. We have lumped over us many curses, but God is breaking that out, because if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. that the blessing is for you and your household, for you and your household, and those who are far off who will still come. Lord, we pray for our families this morning. We decree and we declare, Lord God, that every family represented here this morning, we declare the blood of Jesus over them. We declare salvation over every house in the name of Jesus. We declare deliverance over every house in the name of Jesus. We declare the fear of God over every house in the name of Jesus. We declare that every house has the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ in it, Lord, that the prayers and the worship of Jesus Christ is not only in the church, but is in every home represented here, Lord God, because we know that the earth is the Lord's. We belong to you. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are the people who are called after your name. We are a holy family. We are a nation and a family of priests in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you, you are really repenting in your heart. God is really pouring out refreshing this morning as you repent. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. You don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you go to church here and there, but you have never realized that you need to make him your personal Lord. You are those that on that day will say, I went to church, I read my Bible, and the Lord Jesus will say, I never knew you. You must be born again, the Bible says. You must be born of water and the Spirit. You must have your sins wiped away as you repent of your sins. And today, I want to pray for you. If that's you, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. You must be born again. I want to pray for you. So where you are, just raise your hand. If you want to receive Jesus, you want to be born again this morning. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand up high. You are receiving salvation. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? You need to receive Jesus. Don't go home and go to hell. And there they'll ask you, didn't you go to church? Didn't they do an altar call? And you'll say, yes. So why are you here? Because I didn't want to raise my hand and receive the Lord. I was afraid or whatnot. Doesn't matter who's standing next to you. Rush in and receive the Lord Jesus. Salvation is here. Thank you, Lord. Those of you are raising your hand, I want to pray for you. Please come from where you are. I want just stand here. I want to pray for you. Kialala sure basa nene manike balararusha. Beyadedo ilo le basa tige kadaya do zineman. Mayala yala baso de besoriyo. Mayanda rabaloye. Beyakatala lelo sanduruz. Bayala la ramasedo. Just stand a little bit. Meyana nigi sayala libo sodo ide torokibo sunum. Maike telize sayadi. Your lives are changing today. Your families are changing today. You know, one young person in a family can bring the whole family to Christ. One 8-year-old, one 10-year-old, the dreams they begin to dream, the things they begin to prophesy to the parents can begin to transform the whole family. Amen. Can we pray for them? Stretch your hands to them. Guys, you that are here, are you sinners? Are you a sinner? Yes. Yes. Jesus saves sinners. If you are not a sinner, you can go back, you know, and start a seminar on how how to save yourself. But if you are a sinner, this is the place for you. Amen. Just like all of us. Thank you, Lord. So where you are, just open your hands like this if you can and pray this with me from your heart. Thank you, Lord. The same way that we make vows on a wedding day that bind us for life. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, Father, I come to you today just as I am. I know that I'm a sinner, but I've heard that you are a Savior. I believe you died for me, for my sins. You suffered on the cross for me. And in 3 days, you were raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, you are alive. So come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Be my King. From today, I repent of all my sins. I turn my back on the world. I receive you as my Lord. I receive forgiveness for all my sins. I receive a new heart. I receive a new spirit. I receive a new life today. And I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's somebody behind you. They're just here to encourage you and to give you a hug. After that, please follow these ladies here. They want to spend some time with you, give you some material information, things like that, okay? So that you can grow in the things of the Lord. Are you with me? We are praying with you. We are praying for you. You are going to see a tremendous growth. This year is your year. Hallelujah. This year is your year with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can turn around and meet them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are visiting us for the first time, please remember to join us for the information table. We'd like to meet with you and just share with you a little bit. Can we celebrate them as they go? Hallelujah. God is awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Can we lift our hands to receive the blessing? Yes, Lord. Declare this with me. I'm a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. I'm blessed. Jesus is my king. Thank you, Lord. There are people here, this is a lot of low self-esteem. You talk yourself down. You break yourself down as if you are nothing. You tell yourself, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Today, the Holy Spirit is saying, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loved you, who gave himself up for you. You are not nothing. You are somebody in the kingdom of God. You are valuable to God in the name of Jesus. May that revelation come strong upon the people of God. Father, I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And may the Lord cause his righteousness to break forth in your life. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you the kind of peace that causes you to be still and to laugh in the face of opposition, in the face of turmoil, that your heart will be full of joy. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. And may your children be protected. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit envintook.org.